The question is this: what is it that has some of us find our way to the top of our game, to overcome adversity and challenges, resistance and self-sabotage, to rise from the ashes time and time again? What is it that has everyday people just like you and I act boldly in the name of their passions and live out their wildest dreams in this lifetime? That is the question, and this podcast has the answers. My name is Carrie McCauley, and this is Choose Unstoppable. Hello, and welcome to Choose Unstoppable. My name is Carrie McCauley, and today we are here with Sean Karami. I'm going to tell you just a little about him before we dive in, but I'm excited to share his story with you. So Sean's been a serial entrepreneur since the age of 16, having started and managed more than a dozen businesses. He's managed thousands of employees, servicing tens of thousands of customers, and developed expertise in operations, strategies and planning, marketing, sales, finance, legal, and human resources. And his third act now is helping other business people reach their goals, helping them become more efficient and more profitable. I can't wait to dive into all of this. Sean, hi and welcome.
Hello, and thank you for having me. It's a pleasure being here.
Oh, it's so good. It's nice to see you. Sean and I actually tried doing this once, and so we're praying to the internet gods today. So if all of you are listening to this, you will know that our prayers have been answered. So I know a little about your story, a little more, because we did have that dress rehearsal. But can you take us back? Like, I love when I hear stories of people becoming an entrepreneur at 16. You know, it took me decades to find the courage or even realize that it was a life or a path that I could choose. So whenever anyone finds it so young, I'm interested, like, not only how did they find it, but to have just the courage or the wherewithal to dive in. So how did it start for you?
Yeah, you know, I'm a first generation immigrant. We came here from Iran. My dad had his own business. He had a construction business and it back in Iran. And I always thought that's what I would get into. I would get into construction. And look, let me paint a picture for you. My dad would take me to construction sites. I'd get to climb all over this heavy construction equipment, bulldozers and what have you. And for a little kid, you know, to me, it was kind of understandable that that's what I would want to do. Yeah. So that passion for getting into not only starting my own business, but getting into construction specifically started back then. Now, recently, I spoke to another entrepreneur who got into his father's same line as his father's business, but his father was into insurance. And he said, there's no way I ever thought I would get into insurance. That just didn't seem any. Well, lo and behold, he got into his father's business, got into the insurance business, has grown it into a fantastic, really beautiful company. But I went the other way. I started there, but I never ended up ever touching construction. But when we moved over here, my father didn't have the same opportunities as it happens a lot of times. If you get up and pick up and move from one country completely to another, you know, you kind of have to start over. And my father did have to start over largely. So he managed to get a couple of income properties, very small properties that were not worth professional management, at least not at the time. You know, this is in the 80s. At that time, personal computers were making it into homes. And so wanting to help my father, and really a lot of times I hear entrepreneurs talk and they talk about how they want to bring value to someone, they want to fix a problem or help someone. And really that's where it started for me. I wanted to help my father. I in some ways felt bad, in some ways wanted to just be helpful. I saw his friends having the same problems. They were all in the same boat. I created this basic database program and helped them manage their properties. And I guess from back then, I discovered what a SaaS is, you know, because I would charge them monthly for what I was doing. So that's, you know, just totally by chance, you know, I developed this business. And then I always, for whatever reason, loved formal education. I wanted to be in the classroom or actually at least studying. And sometimes I tell people it may be just because I was lazy, you know, and I just wanted to live the student life my whole life. And so I stopped that business. I spun it off and I went to college. And I got a degree in mathematics. I got a degree in computer programming. And then I had taken so many electives in economics, I think I thought it was easy. So I was very close to another degree. So I petitioned for more units and just said, okay, I'm going to get that as well.
Don't think anyone else would agree that you're lazy. I think so far from what I've heard of your story, that is the last word I would pick to describe.
If you saw me in college, I was quite a slacker. but I love that kind of reading. Even today, I do that because I will pick up textbooks and read them, because that kind of intensive and sometimes theoretical thing helps me, one, get a lot of knowledge quickly, and two, get frameworks for things, because theoretical things allowed you, you know, kind of to me, simplify things down to processes. And in my head, I can get a feel for how something works much better. So, you know, then I got a law degree. And after that, I didn't get any more degrees, but I did go and continue like formal
education. There were none left to get. You got all the degrees.
Well, I got formal education then in marketing, sales, in accounting. So, and I think it's just more because of the way I love doing that. And during college, as I was going through that, I, you know, my friends would be sitting there and they'd be trying to, what kind of job they're going to get, what kind of career they're going to get into, what kind of, you know, how they're going to do this resume or that resume, or submitting job applications, things like that. And those things were almost a foreign concept to me. I never was, you know, created a resume even. I thought, okay, I'll just go do something on my own, right? That's the way I thought. And to this day, recently I was talking to my wife and it just came up and I said, you know, I've never ever done a resume. I don't know what I would put on my resume.
Yeah.
it's just like, I don't know how to create one. I've never studied it.
I have to ask you a question because... Sure. It's quite incredible to have never had the thought even of, well, I guess I need to go and look for work. So are you at this point, are you kind of self-funded, or is it just from your business that you're making money? Are you ever having thoughts like, what if this doesn't work? Was there any veil of necessity or fear, or are you just able to kind of...
Back then or now?
Back then. I wouldn't back dare then. Ask now.
Well, I don't know if things have changed so much, but back then, it was not something that I thought about very much. I don't know why. And a lot of times, you know, I have the PG version of this saying, you know, I have more guts than brains. Mm-hmm. I just never thought of much about it. And the funny thing is, you know, with my wife now, she's much different than I am. She starts asking questions, and good ones that I would never ask. And maybe that's why, you know, I would go and do these things, because she asks those questions, those smart questions, and I don't. And I just sort of go and do it and then say, oh, geez, I forgot about this and the other. Right. Or I never thought about this, because in my mind, you know,
truly, I think sometimes, and this certainly isn't in regards to your wife, I just mean, as some of us, I would even argue a lot of us do spend a lot of time in the planning or the asking or the thinking through or trying to perfect out like how it might unfold versus getting in the pool or rolling up our sleeves and saying, whatever comes, we'll deal with it. And the more entrepreneurs I talk to, especially through this platform, the more I learn about the people who are just willing to have a mentality of, I'll just figure it out as it comes. Because otherwise we can talk ourselves out of problems that may not have been as big or that we thought we couldn't handle, but we're making decisions about what we can handle at the beginning of the race rather than when we're in the race and, you know, being called to do something. So sometimes we can think or question our way out of something quite incredible. And it sounds like you didn't necessarily fall prey to that.
Well, and by no means am I saying that those things are bad, because today, you know, when I go, I ask my wife, I sit there and go, hey, what do you think about that? And she'll ask me, have you thought about this? Oh, geez, I didn't think about that. Let's solve that problem. So it doesn't mean like I just dismiss it. In fact, I say, you know what? That was a very important point that I wouldn't have thought about. Thank you. Let's solve it before we take the plunge on something, you know? And some of the times it's like this, well, we're going to need this kind of expertise, you know, what are you going to do if, for example, this partner doesn't come with you? And my answer to that always is, I'll get another one, right? She may worry about that. I never worry about that. I just said, no. Then we'll, you know, that'll be a difficulty we'll have, but I know how to solve that problem, for example. So there, you know, there's that, but there's two things I tell people, and it comes up with some regularity. And it's something that you said. One is I tell them, you know, don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. Right? If you can do something really well, don't sit there and let perfection stop you. You want to always strive for perfection, but don't let that be the stumbling block, you know? And the other is, you know, and again, these are things people have heard a lot of times, you know, don't have a paralysis by analysis. Yeah. Constantly looking at something and trying to fix it and seeing problems in it. And then because of that, never moving forward. Those are two general things that I live by.
Let's just take it out of the generality for a second.
Sure.
Because I think a lot of people listening, we have heard those sentiments, and you're someone who's lived through a lot of them, obviously managing more than a dozen businesses. So you've been in this world so much. When is the fine line? How do you know? Because also, you know, there's expressions like, you know, like don't go in blind, or the blind leading the blind, and those are bad. So like how, when we're a newer entrepreneur or we're on the verge of, you know, about to go into something, how can we tell when we're in that sweet spot of not over analyzing, but also not, you know, just walking into the fire?
Well, you know, there's basic steps you have to take. You have to identify what exactly it is you're doing, what need you're solving. Is it really a need? You know, do you have a solution searching for a problem? Okay, because you don't want to have that. You want to study the market you're getting into. But before you study that, you have to actually identify that market. What am I getting into? And as much as we think we're inventing something a lot of times, you know, almost everything you get into, and there's already some market you're stepping into. So studying that market and knowing that as much as you can, all of those steps you should be taking. You should put together your business plan, you know, and it doesn't need to be some official looking thing that you would put in front of an investor. I'm a big fan of bootstrapping, although I'll tell you why I'm a fan of raising investment money, because it's really interesting to me, but I'm also a fan of that. But you know, just having an outline out there, what are you going to do? What are the different pieces of this business and how are you going to make them work? But ultimately, there's going to be uncertainty. And you have to understand that it is possible to fail. And frankly, you know, you mentioned, you know, more than a dozen businesses. Part of the reason I've done more than a dozen businesses is some of them have failed. Okay. And I've had terrible failures. I've had businesses that I've grown to 8 and 9 figures. And I've had businesses that have had catastrophic failures that have been total losses. It doesn't mean you're going to be successful, and understand that you may fail. But you're going to have to just take that step at some point. You're going to have to decide, this is good enough. I'm going to have to move forward. And if you don't do that, you're never going to see it succeed. That's the real point. So that's the way I look at it. By no means is without preparation, though.
I love just the certainty of your statement that there is going to be uncertainty. Like it's inevitable. Like we are never... Like I have yet to meet someone or talk to someone, no matter how high they climbed or, you know, how many dips and valleys there were in their journey, that was just certain, that just knew everything that was going to happen. And it went smoothly, and it just went as they had dreamed it always would.
And I'll tell you, when I first started, you had a guest, and it reminded me of this Jeremy Nicolaitis. I like the name. Yeah. I love the name. and he was talking about how he decided to take the plunge. He wasn't happy with what he was doing. He takes this plunge, and then he's got his family, and he's got all this debt, and he's, you know, filled up his credit cards and all this stuff, right? That's not a unique story, and that's scary. When he was going through that, it's very scary. Look, I had times, and this was the reason I thought about this. I had times I couldn't afford electricity when I first started. I literally had, I remember one stint, it was either 1 or 2 weeks where it wasn't like they turned off the electricity and I went down to the power company and paid it. I didn't have it for a period of days. And I was walking around, I swear, I had these Halloween lanterns that I had candles in.
Yeah.
That's the light at my place when I was walking around, right? So that actually happened. And so, you know, it can be very difficult. You can have tough times, and you just got to believe and push through those things. You can't be paralyzed, and you can't sit there and say, oh, geez, I got to have the perfect product. You're never going to have the perfect product. In fact, when you put out your product, I guarantee you, the first customers you get will sit there and tell you of problems you would have never even thought about. Like what you say, oh, geez, not only will you say that, you will also admit to yourself that I would have never even thought about that problem. And it's a significant one. So until you get out there and actually put out a product and do it, you won't even find out about that. One of the companies I'm actually working with, I'm one of their customers, right? Yesterday, or 2 days ago, I was talking to the founder. They're a relatively new company. And we are identifying, my team is working with the product, but at the same time, we're giving them feedback in terms of what they're missing. And a lot of times they say, oh, geez, we didn't think about that. But you know, they had the courage to put out this product. They've spent a lot of time on it. It's a wonderful product, frankly. And I'm going to continue to be a customer, and I'm paying for the product. It's not like I'm some test case. They're giving me stuff for free. And I'm going to keep giving them feedback because I want them to make it better. So this happens all the time. You got to step out and do it.
Yeah, I love that you said, you know, that they had the courage to kind of get the product out there, because it does take courage, because it's never going to feel certain, like you said. So you have to be willing to move forward and take action inside the world of uncertainty. You're just going to have to get comfortable to be in there, and it's not going to feel like... Yeah. Dreamy as we hoped that all of these entrepreneurial ventures would feel. It just isn't going to.
Yeah.
I think that's really important. So how on earth did you move from all of these companies and the strategies and planning and marketing and sales and finance and all of these areas to now doing what you're doing now, helping others? How did that?
Yeah, you know, all the companies that I started, and I say this to people now, I've never even actually received a W-2 from any company I haven't owned, right? I started them from scratch, zero employees. I did everything for the company. And I ended up, because of that, serving in all the different roles of the company, both when it was one person, two people, 10%, 10 people, up to 100, 200, 300 employees, right? And I've seen that progression all the way through. And I've done it both with bootstrapping it, using no one else's money, and at the same time getting investment money. And by the way, I'll just tell you this really important thing. I love when people get investment money. It is the best kind of job to have. Because normally, right, you're getting a job, you apply, and somebody else constructs that job for you, right? It's not exact. Here, when you're doing that, people get actually... You construct your own job, and then you get someone else to pay for it. You know, right? So that's the reason I love investment money. But anyway, I've done it both ways. I watched it grow, having to explain things to lenders and investors, having things go wrong with lenders and investors, and at the same time, the other way too. You know, part of the reason I developed all of these things and went to school for a lot of them, got formal education for a lot of these things, was because I needed them for my own businesses. So some things I have very, very specific knowledge about, some things a little bit more general. And I have a team now that, you know, where I fill in all of the gaps and we work together. So I thought, you know, in terms of transitioning to doing this, I thought I had the right equipment, basically, or the right team, the right goods to actually be able to help other small businesses and, you know, not struggle or implement some things that they wouldn't necessarily be thinking about, and get through some of those difficult times and be able to take those steps that they normally wouldn't take because of the uncertainty. But now, knowing that there's someone else there that has been through it, that understands failure, understands success, and understands that, you know, how to get around some of the pitfalls, so that you maximize the chances of success when you're taking those steps, you know. So that's the way I looked at it.
I love it. I mean, I cannot think of someone more equipped with firsthand knowledge and formal education knowledge as you, because you have this wonderful balance. To be fair, most people choose one or the other. They choose the entrepreneurial life of hard knocks education path, or they choose a more traditional formal education path. You have simultaneously walked both hand in hand and, you know, gotten all of the accolades and the lessons that come with that. And I think that's quite unique that someone will do both and have both of those sides. So I couldn't think of anybody. You will be my phone friend when I need something. You will be the man that I phone.
Well, it's just something that's what I thought is that, yeah, those are relatively unusual. And so those are the relatively unusual things that I can bring to someone, bring value to someone, and hopefully help them, and specifically small and medium-sized businesses to actually become successful or actually add something to it. So they become more successful, even if they are successful.
And where do your clients meet you typically? Are they just starting out in their journey? Have they reached a bump in the road and they need help? Who is it that's usually seeking out your services?
Well, it's both, because of, a lot of the failures actually, but some of the successes as well, family and friends of friends, they started coming to me so much at different places, whether they were starting something or they had some crisis that came to them, or they had phenomenal success and they didn't have the infrastructure. So I they started coming to me. So I ended up having to actually set up a personal site just for that. Where people can go somewhere and contact me that are being just referred over as friends. And then, I just launched my latest company. So, in any of those places, I can help. And, one of the companies, for example, that we just started working with is a hugely successful company. Great brand, has a wonderful reputation with consumers. Their problem was they didn't have an online presence the way they wanted, and they wanted to add something to their business. They're generally a B2B business. They have a consumer good, but their business is selling to distributors. And so they wanted to go to B2C. They wanted to go to consumers. So online plus consumers, they wanted to add those things to their company. And so they came over, and that's what we're working on right now, for example. And this is a company that's a very successful company already. So yeah,
it's incredible. And, just congrats on all of your success. I loved what you shared about how this transition came to be. And for anyone listening who didn't necessarily pick up on it, and I hear it quite often. And when people are thinking like, I just don't know where to go next, or what's my next move, or what should my new business be, or my calling, or my purpose, what is it that everyone asks you about? And like, this was kind of born out of people coming to you and with all of your experience saying, hey, you've been there. What would you do here? How would I do this? And I think it's good for us as we're looking potentially on what's next, or we're thinking about maybe departing from where we are, adding something additional, that what do you notice that people are coming to you for consistently? Because that not only identifies a need, a real one that's already there, but something that, that you have to offer. And it sounds as though people identify that right away, as I have here too today. So I will be coming to you if ever I need anything.
I appreciate it. I'll be there for you. Yeah. But that's, another thing I did when I had my businesses was I would actually, I'm a very much assembly line kind of guy. I would look at processes that I felt were important to the business, but also needed improvement. And a lot of times in creating a better process, I would actually end up separating that off and making it into a separate business and actually going to my competitors in the same industry and saying, hey, I got this thing. I know you're running this process. I can do it this way. It'll be better for you. And here's why it would be better. And I think you should contract that out to me, and it would make you, this much more revenue, this much more profits, it would make your life a lot easier in this way. And so I would make up a number of those businesses was basically that is me just seeing processes in my own, something I started inside of an industry. And then I say, oh, this one process, I can make it better. And then going and selling it off to my competitors. Mm-hmm. So those are always things. There's all these different opportunities that come. And people talk about like how we had COVID and a lot of people, ducked and covered, right? And they sometimes went out of business. Many people did. Some people COVID just fitted the Amazons of the world. You know, that was the right medicine. You know, as you know, forget the health implications. I just mean in terms of economy. And then there are other people in the middle that saw this horrible disruption that they could have never anticipated come. And what they looked for was opportunity. So that's a very important thing, always seeing these things and seeing where the opportunity is. Those are, you know, some of the talents, if that's the right word, that I have, where I'm always looking for what can we do? Some terrible thing is happening either on a macro level or a micro level. How do we address it? Where is the opportunity? Because there's always an opportunity. So
I love it. I love it all, Sean. I'm so grateful that you came on to have this chat with us today. If people are looking to have someone like you in their corner or on their team, how do they find you? What is there a name to your company? What do we do if we want to?
Well, the company I launched is eplaybooks.com. And then you can connect with me personally at Karami Consulting, but I did it easier. Connect with Sean. So you don't have to spell my last name, S-H-A-W-N, just spell my first name. Connectwithsean.com.
Nice. That was very smart. You saw a problem, a challenge, and you turned it into an opportunity, and you solved the problem right here before our very eyes today.
There you go.
Okay, Karami. Okay, so that's awesome. So connectwithsean.com. Sean, thank you so much for bringing your wisdom here. I love how now you've turned around and found a way to serve others coming up behind you. I'm always moved by people who choose to do that when clearly you could have chosen to do anything. You could have literally chosen to be a math teacher, a lawyer, a professor of economics. You could have done many, many things. And here you are in what you are referring to as your third act, but just turning around and helping people that don't necessarily have the experience under their wings that you do. So, you know, I acknowledge you for that.
Well, thank you. And it's always a pleasure and an honor to bring value. And it's a pleasure and honor to be on your show.
Oh, you're so welcome. It would be impossible without the courageous people like you to share your story. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
For all of you listening at home, connectwithsean.com. How easy is that? S-H-A-W-N. I'll put everything in the show notes. Thanks as always for tuning in. I am forever grateful, and we will talk next week. And until then, my friends, choose unstoppable. Thank you so much for listening today. It would mean the world to me if you enjoyed the content to please leave a review and a rating and subscribe to the show. It'll help others find us so that we can spread this important message. We'll see you in the next episode. Until then, choose unstoppable.